Welcome to the spirit world, answering your questions on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact. And now your hosts, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the spirit world. I am Debbie Giorgiani with religious demonologist and co-host Adam Bly, and definitely you today. We're opening up the phone lines. We know you're going to have a lot to say about these topics that we are going to talk about and present to you and get your feedback on. We're talking about tattoos and body piercings. That's right. And how does it relate to our Christian life? Is it in the Bible? We'll go over all of those things. But Adam, we always start every single episode with the St. Michael prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Beautiful. Okay, we started with the St. Michael prayer, and we always love to do that every single time we have an episode of the Spirit World. We are live today, so we do expect your phone call. If you have a tattoo, or you're tatted up and inked up or anything like that, or you have some body piercings and you want to talk about it, maybe how you acquired them, why you decided to get them, feel free to call in. Or if you have a certain understanding about tattoos or piercings, Please definitely weigh in on it as well. 877-757-9424 is the number to call. That's 877-757-9424. Start filling up the phone lines, because we want to go to our callers, our spirit world family, because what you have to share is very important to us. And Adam, please, at this time, wave to all the socials going strong. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, Twitch. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much. Put all your comments about tattoos and body piercings in the chats. And anything that we post or anything we talk about, we will definitely share it in the show notes. Our producer, Tim, from Guadalupe Radio Network, is right on top of things. So thank you so much, Tim. Thank you to our show team today, Libby and Carol, doing a fine job. And we also have Bailey on the set as well. And she is watching and checking out this social media stream. So that is fantastic. Phone lines are lighting up. That is great. We are being heard on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So before we get started, Adam, just a little bit of catching up. How was your exorcism work this week that you do on a weekly basis?
Well, you know, Lent is always a busy time in the kind of working in deliverance and exorcism. A lot of cases flare up, a lot of new cases come to light. And we've been praying with, you know, some new people recently, but it's been going really well. You know, one positive thing just to share. Now, I'm not saying that alcoholism is purely spiritual, or that people that have an alcohol problem have a demonic problem. Not saying that at all. But for the second time in you know, my time in doing this over the last 20 years, there was somebody who had a problem with drinking, and it was becoming really habitual and a daily thing, and they felt a little out of control with it. And in the process of being prayed for, they were freed of that. They wow. went home a few weeks back and lost all interest.
Beautiful.
And they didn't have any withdrawals. They didn't, yeah, basically they were freed of it. And that's the second time I've seen that. So a number of years ago, somebody else who has continued to be free of it. In fact, when they smell alcohol, they feel sick. Wow. They get sick to their stomach, and they've been freed of it.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Yeah, so yeah. My point in sharing that is, along the way, as you're praying for things, people are often freed by God, where I think it's not so much that a demon causes alcoholism, though of course they would encourage that because they want us to poison the body, but Jesus frees people of burdens that could get in the way of them getting to that good place of trusting God, loving God, feeling strong in themselves and empowered in their own free will and those kind of things. So along the way, Jesus helps people in addition to just casting the demons out.
Mm-hmm. You know, you said something very interesting. You said the demons want us to poison the body. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So, and we're talking about tattoos and body piercings. Do they want us to poison our skin as well, the exterior part of the temple of the Holy Spirit? Very interesting, Adam. So it's a kind of an interesting segue into our topic today about tattoos and body piercings. That's what we're talking about today. Adam, thank you for an update on the work that ministry work that you do on a weekly basis in the Diocese of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And also, I just wanted to remind everybody that the phone number to dial if you have a tattoo, if you got rid of a tattoo, if you're thinking of getting a tattoo or something of that nature, feel free to call in 877-757-9424. That's 877-757-9424. And since we're being heard all over the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, we should get international calls from everywhere about this topic, because it's definitely something that is very popular these days. If you can go into any restaurant, and most of the wait staff has tatted arms all the way up, sleeves, all, you know, full body piercings, all sorts of stuff. So it's very interesting topic, and we're trying to unpack it together the spirit world way. So 877-757-9424. The phone lines are lighting up, so that's great. Adam, also, too, I wanted to remind everyone that in just 2 weeks, we will be in Dubuque, Iowa, at the Christ the King Conference with Our Lady of Good Success Aquinas Communications. We're so excited, you guys, and I hear tickets are selling and people are calling up and they're asking about coming to this spiritual warfare, wonderful, amazing live broadcast of the spirit world, which will be on location. We're taking the show on the road. We're very excited. So please, if you're in the area, you can fly in, drive in, walk in. Please get your tickets today at kcrd-fm.org. Anything you want to say about that, Adam?
Oh, just like always, I'm excited to meet people in person. It's always fun. It's always feels really rewarding, and it's humbling. It's, you know, very... Doing radio is interesting. You know, we don't see the audience. We talk to a few people, but to go and see that and see what God is doing, you know, in people's lives and things that have helped them, it's just really nice.
I so agree. Okay, so Adam, let's dive in. It's only 2 weeks away, so people got to get their tickets, and we want to fill the place. It's going to be amazing. So Our Lady of Good Success, Aquinas Communications in Dubuque, Iowa, please, kcrd-fm.org. Okay, Adam, let's dive into this topic, because we have a lot of people weighing in already on the social media streams. We've got phone lines lighting up. There's room for you if you'd like to join the conversation or add your take on this. 877-757-9424. Adam, where do you want to proceed first? The Bible, the catechism, just our understanding of tattoos and piercings?
Yeah, so there's a few layers to this, kind of a few ways to look at it. So first off, yes, there are prohibitions against getting tattoos in the Old Testament. There's a specific prohibition linked to the Canaanites and saying don't mark your bodies the way the Canaanites do. And then there is also a general prohibition against tattoos in the Old Testament. Now, so we would say, okay, that's in the Word of God, that's there. But then we need to remember that the law, the Jewish law, in its entirety doesn't apply to Christians, right? We don't follow all of the Jewish law. Christianity changed a number of things, you know, like what we can eat. We don't have time to go into it, but we're not under the dietary prohibitions that the Jews were under. And so one argument would be, well, there's not a prohibition because for Christians, at least. Now, if you're Jewish, of course, you already know you're not allowed to be tattooed because you're following that prohibition. Okay, so for Christians, technically you would say, you could argue that that doesn't apply. Now, it's interesting.
Because it's the old covenant.
Because it's
saying?
The old covenant, yeah.
Okay, okay. So you could argue that. Okay.
Yes. Before we leave that first aspect of this, it's interesting to note that there is a specific reference to the tattooing being on the right hand or the forehead. Now, that should ring a bell from Revelations. And a lot of people that are into apocalyptic stuff in Revelations, there's a reference to receiving the mark of the beast on the hand or the forehead. Well, what's that all about? Well, at the time in the ancient world, slavery was common. And if you were a slave, you were often marked on your hand and your head with who your owner was, because you were property.
Right.
In addition, the Canaanites would put which Canaanite god they served and worshipped, their symbol, on their right hand and or their forehead as a way of showing kind of fealty, the way we would wear a crucifix around our neck if we choose to, kind of the same thing. It's an outward sign so people saw which cult, which god you were worshiping, what cult you were part of. And so part of the prohibition, you could then argue, is about basically don't mark yourselves in the way the Canaanites do, because you're kind of showing that you're worshiping Canaanite gods, or there's kind of an allusion to that. Okay. So there is kind of a specificity to some of the prohibition with tattooing. And, you know, the mark of the beast, by the way, in Revelation, it's about saying you basically follow and worship the beast. So that's why the head and the forehead is referenced in Revelation. Okay, so all that being said, if one were to get a tattoo, of course the church would say it obviously wouldn't be an immoral word or image, you know, in that tattoo. It wouldn't be something sacrilegious, it wouldn't be something demonic, satanic, that type of thing. And I think that basically, I think the church, most of the time, the answer you would get is, it's okay, but don't let it be immoral or sacrilegious. Now, that being said, the next layer to it, Deb, would be, I have seen over the years consistently, and I'm not saying all tattoos are demonic, not saying that, but consistently over the years, when we're praying with people, doing exorcisms with people that have tattoos, when you apply holy water or blessed oil or relics to the tattoos and hold them on the arm, for instance, where the tattoo is, we get a big reaction of pain and consternation from the demon. And it seems to be kind of a, for them, I think they like it. Now, why is that? I think they like it because it's an attack on the body. It's physically hurting and cutting the skin. Mm-hmm. And they like anything that attacks the image of God, right? We're created in the image of God. Our bodies are. So they want us to attack and deface the image of God. And so they see that as kind of a stronghold or a victory.
Okay.
So, and what I'm referring to is tattoos in general, not just immoral or satanic tattoos, just generic tattoos. I have seen that reaction consistently over the years. That's not to say that your tattoo is demonic. And the final thing as we head into the break, there have been cases where somebody's getting tattoos from somebody involved in the occult who has, quote-unquote, prayed over the ink before using it without telling people, just like we might bless something and make it holy.
Right.
Somebody might call whatever spirit they're serving or wanting to serve to be connected with the ink. So I would say if you're going to do it, be cautious about who's doing the tattoo and make sure that spiritually everything is clean.
Okay, so let's hold it there. Like you said, we're going to go into the break. And when we come back, I want to ask you a couple questions that have come in from our spirit world family about this and some of the details. So especially if they're advising somebody to get a tattoo or not get a tattoo or piercing or something of that nature. So when we come back, we'll get to the calls first, because we have three first-time callers that are going to be up on the first set of calls. Rachel and Leo and TJ, hold on. And if you want to join the conversation about tattoos or body piercings, now is the time to call in at 877-757-9424. That's 877-757-9424. And Adam and I will be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 7th. Today we celebrate Saints Perpetua and Felicity. What a story we remember today. Two young members of the early church threatened with death if they did not renounce their Christian faith. Perpetua was a beautiful, well-educated noblewoman of Carthage and the mother of an infant son. She chronicled the Christian persecution by the Emperor Septimus Severus. Felicity was an enslaved, expectant mother. For their unwillingness to deny their faith, they were sentenced to death along with three male companions. Felicity gave birth to a daughter only a few days before she, Perpetua, and the three men met their fate at the public games in the amphitheater. The women were beheaded. The men were killed by beasts. After a period of separation from her small son, Perpetua's diary notes that the two were reunited. "I at once recovered my health," the young mother writes, "and my prison became a palace to me." On the day of their martyrdom in the year 203, Perpetua and Felicity were stripped before entering the arena. The two women stood together to the end and were buried in the major basilica in Carthage. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
We're getting a lot of comments coming in from the Spirit World family. Thanks, you guys. Keep the comments coming. We'll weave them into the discussion. We do have a couple open phone lines, which is very unusual here on the Spirit World. So we would like for you to fill up those phone lines if you'd like to make a comment or share your experience of tattoos or piercings, or maybe you learned something different from somebody else that's on Catholic media. We'd love to hear it. 877-757-9424. That's 877-757-9424. Or if you have a specific story with some details that is just too long for this this episode, you can always email us TSW, that stands for The Spirit World, at grnonline.com. It's grnonline.com because we're being produced by the Guadalupe Radio Network, heard on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. One open phone line here, so if you'd like to jump in on the action, it's 877-757-9424. I have a list of about six questions, Adam, just for you to get into the details of mainly tattoos, but why don't we get to our first-time callers, because they are waiting so patiently, and now we have a fourth first-time caller. So lots of new family members coming on board. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay, Rachel is first. She's a first-time caller from Buffalo, New York, listening on the EWTN app. Hello, Rachel. Welcome to the Spirit World.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you. Go right ahead.
Okay, I have a tattoo on my back. It's a small crucifix that I had put on about 25 years ago. Recently, I've come much closer to my faith, and now I'm concerned that this could be offending God and possibly jeopardizing my soul. When I chose it, it was because I figured if I'm going to put anything permanent on my body, that's the one symbol I knew that I wanted and wouldn't change. But I am very concerned now.
Okay. So, Rachel, thanks for calling. So, yeah, the first thing to note, you know, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the official teachings of the Catholic Church, does not forbid tattoos. We are supposed to avoid vanity. They shouldn't be immoral, and they shouldn't kind of horribly disfigure the body. But what you're describing, that doesn't meet any of those criteria. So I wouldn't, yeah, you're not putting your soul in danger. Even if a person had a satanic tattoo on their body, it doesn't put their soul in danger. You know, if they have a conversion experience, they would maybe repent of that, maybe get it removed, but it wouldn't cause somebody to be damned just because they had a tattoo. So in your case, yeah, you're fine. It's not mutilating you. It's not immoral. Yeah, so basically be at peace.
It's not a show of vanity or anything like that because it's right on her back. But Rachel, don't go anywhere because I got a question. This is actually pertains to one of the questions that came in from the spirit world listeners. Some people who have gotten tattoos like of the Blessed Mother, you know, Our Lady of Guadalupe or crucifixes or something of that nature, St. Benedict medal, they've had them blessed by priests. Now, I understand that some priests and bishops declined and said they wouldn't bless them. Some did. What do you say about that, Adam? Is that something that Rachel should look into to see if a priest could bless it in case it had some kind of strange prayer beforehand when the ink was permanently done to the tattoo? I mean, it's, what do you say about that? Because that's a big question that people are saying, and they actually heard it, believe it or not, they heard it from the spirit world when we said things like, you know, have things blessed or say a blessing over things to kind of neutralize things.
Yeah. So if it's been 20 years and nothing bad happened, I wouldn't really worry about it or be anxious about it. So, you know, if you approached a priest, who knows, would they be comfortable with that? Don't know. There's no requirement that they have to bless something like that. They might feel, who knows, they might be fine with it and they may bless it. They may not want to, but basically I wouldn't worry about it either way. And if somebody out there is anxious and says, oh, you know, I'm anxious about this tattoo and my priest said he won't bless it, just take some holy water. Rub the holy water on the tattoo and ask our Lord to bless it and, you know, be at peace.
That's great. Yeah.
If you had ongoing problems, of course, approach the priest or the diocese if you think there's some connection. But usually tattoos on their own don't cause extraordinary demonic problems.
Okay. Good. I thought that was wise words. Rachel, what do you say? Has it brought you some peace today?
Yes, it definitely has. I feel so much relief now.
Oh, bless your heart. You're so wonderful. Thanks for trusting us with this question and your experience, Rachel, because you've helped many souls today. So thank you so very, very much. Call us again, okay?
Absolutely. Thank
you. Okay. Thank you. All right. We're going to get to Leo. Leo is another first-time caller in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, also listening on the EWTN app. Hi, Leo. Welcome.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're great. Thank you so much. You go right ahead, sir.
Excellent. Just a quick question. I have a 22-year-old daughter. She got a belly button piercing. It's been probably coming up on 2 years. She's a very faithful Catholic. I was telling your call screener, Libby, that she's more so than I was at her age. I was more a St. Augustine at 22, living in the world, in college, and worrying about my degree and my future and all those kinds of things. You know, I picked my battles. I didn't really push too hard back on it. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if there's any kind of comments you guys can give me. It's a vanity thing for her. But again, as I was telling your screener, you know, she doesn't really dress like a floozy, so to speak. You know, probably any time it's visible for the most part is like at the beach. You know, she doesn't wear a whole lot of, you know, short-cut shirts or anything like that to show it off. It's kind of funny because it bothers her here and there, and I just look at her like, well, you know. Mm-hmm. It's, that was your choice. And
okay,
so she got it done at a commercial place.
Okay, so she went to a commercial place and got the belly button piercing. Okay, so Leo, we both have comments on this. So I'll let Adam go first, and then I'll share a couple of thoughts. We deal with this a lot in life coaching. A lot of families come to us with different things that their 20-year-olds are into and ask us, you know, how to handle it and how to kind of process with them. So Adam, why don't you go first?
Yeah, Leo. So, you know, I would kind of equate this with having your ears pierced at this point, at least in our culture. It's, I think, become at least somewhat culturally normative for people to have belly buttons pierced, I guess. I'm not really completely up on it, but I know it became pretty common many years ago. it's not a kind of a gross mutilation of the body. And yeah, I guess, Deb, I'm curious about your thoughts, but yeah. I would kind of say if it's not being kind of linked and added to in some way that makes it immoral or you know,
or provocative or something
okay. like that, I would yeah. probably equate it with having the ears pierced. But what do you think?
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, Adam, you bring up a really good point. And Leo, I understand as a parent, you're thinking, you know, this is my daughter, my 22-year-old beautiful daughter. But you made the comment that she's a very good practicing Catholic. In fact, you complimented her and said she's even doing better at her age than you did at the same age, right? And you said you
Correct.
Took the Yeah, you took the Augustine, St. Augustine path. I get it. And so that is really interesting. But here's what we say in life coaching all the time to families that bring this kind of situation to us. First of all, she's 22. And as she matures, she's going to realize that there's certain things that she doesn't want to do anymore or have anymore. So one of the things we always encourage parents is to, you know, just kind of, encourage the young adults to try not to do anything too permanent, because as you get older, you're going to have different feelings. You're going to mature. You're not going to want things to be so permanent. And so it sounds like with this piercing, you know, obviously she can take it out and then it'll heal, and she can go on with her adult life and it'll all work out. The other thing too is you said she's a good practicing Catholic. The stronger she gets in her Christian walk, the stronger as she matures and gets closer to God, she will let go of a lot of things that were important to her at a younger age. It's very simple, similar to when Rachel made the phone call where she said, you know, early on she got that tattoo of the crucifix, but now that she got, you know, deep into her faith, you know, now she's questioning if, you know, she should have done that. That's exactly what happens when you spiritually advance, you spiritually mature. So what I would suggest is to just absolutely encourage her to stay close to God, you know, continue beautifully practicing her faith, being a role model and how beautiful that is for her holiness. And as she matures, those other things that we feel we need to make us fit in or more beautiful or more accepted, whatever, we will just peel away. And so that's the advice that I would give from a life coaching standpoint. What do you have to say, Leo, from what we shared?
Great info. Great takeaway. It's kind of eased my mind quite a bit. Can I ask a quick follow-up question about
Sure.
my 35-year-old son?
Sure, you go right ahead.
He was away from the faith for a few years, kind of late life, St. Augustine, but he's back full force, goes to daily mass as much as he possibly can, as much as his work will allowing to praise the rosary faithfully, raising his children Catholic, his young children. But when he was away, he's always been kind of like a horror movie guy, and not really, you know, kind of a little Freddy Krueger-ish, but like he likes the old stuff too, Frankenstein, Dracula, that kind of thing. Anyway, long story short, he got a tattoo on his thigh. Now, he never hardly wears shorts at all. You never see it. It's almost like my daughter. Anytime you see it, it's at the beach. It's like an angry pumpkin. And, you know, kind of a ghoulish, angry-looking pumpkin. And I've talked to him about it. Now, I know that a private person did it. It's really well done. I mean, as far as the details go and the color and everything. And I don't think the girl dabbles in the occult or anything like that. I'm going to have him follow up on that.
Let's let Adam comment, because we're getting ready to head into a break, because this is very interesting and I'd like to hear his thoughts on this.
Yeah, Leo. So, It's probably in the category of basically okay, kind of leaning towards something that might be seen as negative, but it's somewhat neutral. So, you know, I he's an adult. I would leave it up to him. He may get it removed later in life if he chooses to. And what I mean by leaning towards something negative, another way to think of the body in this whole question is the body is supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? So if any images are put on the body, we should keep that in mind. Is this does this make sense? Does this go along with the idea of the body being the temple of the Holy Spirit? And I would say that kind of thing doesn't. But it's not full-blown satanic and blasphemous. So, you know, I would say the needle's creeping towards no, but it's probably not an egregious thing.
And he's not exposing it. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there, Leo, because we are, there you go, music right on cue. Thank you so much, Leo, for calling in, being a first-time caller. Definitely call us again. We want to journey with you, and we thank you so much for trusting us with your questions. And we're going to ask Mary to hold on. Ann, wow, so many. TJ, Tammy, Joseph, everybody on Facebook, YouTube. We're waving again, you guys, getting your chats in. Thanks so much for the kind comments. You guys are awesome. Guess what? This is our final break, and we will get to hopefully all of the calls today. So everybody, hang on. We'll be right back.
Conception is a Catholic dogma that many Protestants have a hard time accepting. They claim it shouldn't be believed because it's not found in the Bible. But I beg to differ. Recall how after the fall in Genesis 3:15, God promised to set enmity between the woman and Satan, between the woman's seed, the Messiah, and Satan's seed. This separation from Satan means the woman's not tainted by sin in any way. Moreover, woman seems to be a title for Eve in her pre-fall state, as is the case in Genesis 2:23. She isn't called Eve until after the fall in Genesis 3:20. So who's this new woman? It's the mother of the Messiah, Mary. So just like the first woman was created without original sin, so too the new woman, Mary, was created without original sin. That's to say, immaculately conceived. I'm Carlo Broussard with the Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
So many of us carry such heavy burdens.
Come on, babe. It'll be fun. It's just you and me.
Deep within, we struggle because sin separates us from God. But thanks to the grace of confession, God compassionately listens, forgives, and sets us free. So if it's been a while since you've been to confession or Mass, come home and experience a fresh start. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Okay, no more breaks, so you should all be happy, and we're gonna pick up the pace a bit. So Mary's going to be next. Mary, hold on for just a moment. On Facebook, Adam, we have some comments coming in, waving to you guys. Aaron Doyle says, Debbie, that is so wise. I'm sure you're referring to the advice that I gave Leo. Brain development continues until about the age of 25. Parents need to learn patience, faith, and prayer, and lean on patience, faith, and prayer. Absolutely. Also, John on Facebook says, God bless you both, Debbie and Adam. Oh, thanks, you guys. You guys are so sweet. Always sending in those just beautiful comments. Thank you. We appreciate it so very much. And I'm also getting messages too. How do you find our life coaching? It's at standtalltoday.com. Standtalltoday.com. Okay, we're going to get to Mary. Is a first time caller. She's a physician and she's listening on Sacred Heart Radio in Bellevue, Ohio. Mary, welcome to the Spirit World.
Hi, Debbie and Adam.
Hello. Thank you so much for calling. Go right ahead.
The reason why I called in is because you're talking about tattoos, and I'm a physician, and I do a lot of cancer intervention and diagnosis, specifically with breast and with lymph. And one of the things that is not shown in public literature and maybe important for your callers that have tattoos is to know that having a tattoo raises your risk of having blood cancer, leukemia, and lymphoma. Especially the first year after you get the tattoo, the risk is 79% higher than the general public. It will reduce over the next 5 years to 17%, but it never goes away. And I know this is probably true because when I do biopsies of the breast or the armpit or the groin, sometimes I don't know because the patient's lying down and they're referred to me, and I get these pieces of black in the tissue, and I have to let the pathologist know. It's actually carbon and dyes from the tattoo, and that stays in the immune system, and it disrupts the immune system. And 2 points is I think it's important for your callers to know that, and it's also important, I don't want to scare anybody that already has one, it's important to take in God's blessings, particularly afterwards, and to make sure that your physician orders a blood count on it when you go in for your annual exam. That's all I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to have your input on my thoughts.
Well, Mary, real quickly, I want to ask you this question because this is going to be a follow-up that people are going to ask us. If you already have tattoos or a whole sleeve of tattoos that you've done and things of that nature, is there anything you can do to build the immune system, something of that nature? I don't want you to give medical advice, directly over the air, but just in general.
Usually just generally to have a very good diet. I would stay away from processed foods. And mm-hmm. if you have immune boosters, there's a few immune boosters you can ask your doctor about that are available as supplements. Mm-hmm. And also just to get that as a proactive thing, to get the blood count done every year when you go into the doctor. And if it's abnormal, then they can jump on it and start acting on that immediately.
Okay. Comments, Adam?
Just Mary, I don't know if you know, but your voice cut out as you were speaking there. So is the two cancers you've mentioned, it was leukemia and lymphoma, is that right?
That is correct. Cancers that do deal with the blood system.
I see. Okay. Thank you so much for calling in. Anybody that's listening and is curious about that, of course, talk with your physician directly. Mm-hmm. If you want to discuss this. But thank you so much for calling in. And yeah, I'm curious myself. I'll do a little search later in PubMed and I'm sure I'll find mm-hmm. something in there. Mm-hmm. But it's just a super valuable public service announcement.
Absolutely. Mary, is that why when I went in for testing for blood work, for specifically what you're just talking about, lymphoma, is that why they asked me about tattoos?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, very interesting. So now it makes complete sense. Mary, thank you so much. You are just a beautiful soul for stepping up. Thank you for the work that you do as a doctor. We appreciate it so very, very much. And you're a first-time caller. We hope you check in with us again, okay?
Thank you. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Pray for us. Okay, Anne is another first-time caller from Chicago, Illinois, listening online, EWTN. Hello, Anne. Welcome.
Hello, hi. I wanted to share my experience with tattoo removal.
Okay, go right ahead.
So I wanted to provide hope for people that it is possible mm-hmm. To remove tattoos, but also a warning because it's not easy. It's extremely difficult. It's very expensive and very painful mm-hmm. and a really long process and a commitment of time and money.
Mm-hmm. Is there any scarring too involved, Anne?
It's possible. Also, there are tattoo removal clinics of ill repute. So, you could get infections or scars. You have to be very careful where you go. It's not easy. It's not a one-time removal process. It can take years. It can really take a very long time. Mm. And it's just not an easy process.
Mm-hmm. And you're in that process right now, so you have multiple tattoos. Do I understand that correctly?
I am removing 7 tattoos. Also, to tie in with the last caller, there are health issues to remove a tattoo, the immune system is eliminating the ink. So you're also at risk to remove them.
Mm. Wow. And can you share, obviously your details are your personal details, but is this something that you had this like kind of awakening or enlightenment and you wanted to remove them or something changed in your life, Anne?
Well, so I got them all as soon as I could when I was 18, which is a very young age to be able to get a tattoo. And now that I'm almost in my 40s, I really desperately want them off of me. And I will say the pain of removing them is so much worse than the pain of getting them. Mm-hmm. But all that aside, it is possible to remove them. I have some that are almost completely gone. So that is the good news.
Well, I put you in the prayer book, Anne, so that it's safe and it's not as painful as you're sharing. And so we put you in the prayer book. So for continued blessings in this area as you remove those tattoos, okay?
I really appreciate that. And it's probably not possible for some people to remove them when they really regret having it on their body. It's not an easy process. It's not accessible for everyone. And it's just a really sad situation that it can be permanent, but mm-hmm. also there's hope to remove it as well. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for weighing in and thank you for being a first time caller. Adam, you're good. You want to, you have a comment or you want to go to the next caller?
Oh, just real quick. I'm really grateful Ann called in and also the physician that called in previously. I think,
Mary.
You know, we're trying mm-hmm. to basically talk about common sense and applying common sense to this, but it's just wonderful that these are some of the layers of, you know, the common kind of think about what you're committing to and what you're doing and mm-hmm. the consequences of it, you know, before we do it. So I think this is just super helpful.
I agree. And we already got the Spirit World family is praying for you and blessings to you. So that should make you feel good. Feel those prayers and definitely call us again. Thank you so very much. And Mary as well, the caller right before you. Okay, we're going to move to TJ. TJ is a first time caller. And TJ, I'm going to send you a virtual patience award because you've waited most of the show in Lynchburg, Virginia, listening on the EWTN app. Hello, TJ. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me all right?
Yes. Yeah, just nice and loud. Talk nice and loud.
Okay. I'm a first-time caller. I've called Take Two before with Jerry and Debbie. Mm-hmm. My question and comment doesn't necessarily have to do with today's topic directly about tattoos. My question deals with the online particularly the online gaming world, video games. I notice in the online gaming world, people have these names. They have these names that it's almost like a tattoo. I mean, to me, it's like a tattoo because they have. Sometimes it's cynical names, and I'll get to my question. Just mm-hmm. give me a minute.
Okay.
Sometimes I notice these names that these people carry into the online virtual world are very cynical, very dark, and how can we? How can we protect young people from being persuaded by these darker voices or whatever
that we see
portraying themselves in the online world because me, I'm like a gamer. I like to play video games, you know, to pass the time. But I notice a lot of this stuff is heavily in dark and it's just bad.
Okay. Well,
how can
Right. TJ, we totally get it. We hear this a lot from the spirit world, family members that send in messages about gaming and their family members that are into it. So, Adam, why don't you go ahead and respond to TJ?
Yeah, TJ, thanks for calling. You know, there's a few layers to this. One layer is there's a lot of, like, anime of various types from different countries. It's real popular, basically, with young people and in the online world and the online gaming world, and a lot of wanting to associate with those kind of cartoonish characters because, in a sense, you know, you're playing a cartoon, in a sense. You're playing a little animated character in games, and so there's a little bit of a connection there. And that kind of dark stuff that borrows from demons and demonic names is happening. And then another layer to it is a lot of competitiveness is online, and so people want to have a label that maybe seems intimidating or off-putting. In order, there's a bit of a psychological game that goes on, you know, with gaming online. You really can't control what people do in terms of what handle they're using online, of course. Interestingly, it kind of goes back to where we started at the very beginning, talking about, you know, the tattoos that the Canaanites had on their hand or their head. It's not the same as that, of course, but you're basically putting it out there and saying, I associate with, I like, this is what I'm about to some extent, and by putting that label on yourself. And if it's a really dark and possibly demonic label, you're kind of saying, you know, this is what I think is cool, this is what I want to associate with. And so you don't necessarily, obviously, if you're a Christian, want to be doing that, because you're kind of basically being a cheerleader for the enemy, even if it's a little bit online. What do you think, mm-hmm. Deb?
I agree with you completely. And I also, I'm so opposed to doing anything permanent to the body. And because, let's face it, everybody's going to age. Everybody's going to get older. The wrinkles are going to set in. And these things look horrific when you're in your 70s or 80s. I'm just telling you. I mean, let's just talk real here. I mean, don't do anything permanent to your body. You know, the body piercings, I guess, you know, I'm not a big fan of those, especially when they're all in the face or the eyebrows and things of that nature. But you at least can close those up or not wear the jewelry with it. But when you start putting permanent ink on your body, I mean, it's with you until you go to the grave. And I just think it's something that people need to realize. If you're going to get involved in gaming, yeah, there's that whole culture, that whole allure. But I think TJ, if it's something that you're doing to pass some time or it's entertaining, well, see it as that. But then spend your effort in really and truly deepening your faith life. That's where you should make those permanent changes. What do you say, TJ? Real quick.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. That sounds great. Like to pass the time. I like to pass the time just playing games mm-hmm. online. But I notice with a lot of people there's a dark side attached, and
right.
They'll name their characters bad names, sure. evil names, sure. and stuff like that. And
well,
it's really deterring.
Yeah, and TJ, the fact that you brought it up means it is concerning you. So maybe start to pull away from that community a bit, okay? Start pulling away and put your effort towards something that's going to advance you for all of eternity, okay? And it can be just as exciting. Believe me, when you start getting into the lives of the saints and things of that nature, it's exciting. And you talk about time passing. Boy, time just flies by. But TJ, thank you so much for calling in on the Spirit World. Definitely check in with us again. We're going to get to Tammy now, a first-time caller from Benton Harbor, Michigan, on Sirius XM 130. Tammy, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Apparently it was just timing that I needed to hear this talk today, because I have a tattoo on my shoulder, and I got it. I was a cradle Catholic, but after high school, mom wasn't making us go to church, so I stopped going. I kind of went it my own way. And somewhere in the early 2000s, I think, I got a tattoo on my shoulder. It's a unicorn. And in 2012, I came back to the church. And so I guess I'm just kind of concerned having this tattoo and to talk about tattoos. I don't think it's demonic, because like I said, it's a unicorn. But I guess I just want maybe some assurance that everything's okay. I had it done at a local tattoo shop. I don't think there was anything demonic behind it, the shop or anything that I had ever heard or even since then. So,
okay,
anyways, that's my story.
Yeah, Tammy. So thank you for calling. Basically, I would be at peace and just let it go at this point. It's not obviously negative or immoral. You know, it sounds like it was just something you did at the time. I don't think it falls in any of the categories that the church would be uncomfortable with. And again, there's no actual prohibition. So there's guidance. And I don't think this is violating any of that guidance. So if you want to have it removed, you can, but research that, as we learned from our, you know, one of our other callers that we just had. Look into that and research it before you do it. But I would basically be at peace and let it go and just focus on your life with God and moving forward.
Thanks, Tammy. We appreciate
that. All right, yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. You were a first-time caller, not anymore, so definitely call us again. Okay, we're going to get to Joseph in Ann Arbor, Michigan on the EWTN app. Hi, Joseph. Welcome to the program. We only have a couple minutes, but you go right ahead.
Okay. Hey, Deb, Alan. Yeah, I have the remnants of the tattoo, which I started to get rid of and never completed it with, you know, like laser therapy. But the story behind that was what motivated me to get it was I believed at the time that I had been placed under a love spell by a satanic witch. And and so I got this tattoo of a pentagram facing upward, and then with this rune in a symbol in the middle of it, like a Y, which was supposed to be the like symbol of protection. You know, if I had gotten anything, it should have been a crucifix. But at the time, I was away from the church. And so anyway, and I do believe that there's a distinct difference between witches that call themselves good witches and ones who are satanic. Although if they're all believing in pagan gods, well, we're probably not going to end up in a very good place. But anyway, I got this, when I got this tattoo, the tattoo guy said it was probably more of an obsession spell rather than a love spell. And anyway, the spell was so strong that the girl that did it, she was a fellow coworker of mine. And I was going to go to like visit her on my break while I was under the spell, and I knew I was under a spell, but I didn't try to fight it because, you know, I was attracted to her. Mm. But anyway, I also knew that she had this steady boyfriend. Mm. And when I saw her boyfriend there with her, you know, visiting her, it took every ounce of my reserve to walk away from it because I wanted to go up there and punch his face out. Mm. And this spell was so strong.
Yeah. Well, Joseph, we're going to get hit with the closing music. I'm going to have to let Adam reply because we're going to get our Spirit World family members wanting his response. Go ahead, Adam.
Okay, Joseph. So just focusing on the tattoo alone, not that whole story, because we don't have time to try to unpack that. If you've already had it partly removed, probably have the rest of it removed. But as we learned from a previous caller, there can be, you know, some medical concerns, some pain, et cetera. So maybe just in prudence, talk with your doctor and say, hey, doc, you know, can you take a look at this? You feel comfortable with me having the rest of it removed and whatever method you're using. But yeah, I would lean towards getting it removed. I would lean towards removing completely a pentagram that was put on your body. That's it.
Okay, Joseph, thank you so much for calling in. John, first-time caller from Kansas City, Kansas, wanted to get some pointers about possibly getting a tattoo that has a religious symbol. John, I'm against them. I'm just letting you know. I would rather have you wear a sacramental, like a medal, you know, a chain on a chain, rather than getting something permanent to your body. Real quick, Adam.
Yeah, I would lean towards that. Yeah, I would be very, very prudent and cautious about any adding any tattoos.
Okay,
personally.
John, thank you. Okay, and John, thank you so much. Mark is a nurse practitioner and is saying that it's not evidence-based that the tattoos can cause cancer. Okay, we could get into that in a future episode, okay? That'll do it, guys. I got to thank everybody. Thank you, Carol, Libby, Bailey, Tim, our producer, EWTN. Until next Saturday, have a beautiful and blessed week. We'll see you real soon.